Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. It is so good to be here tonight, and we're going to do what we do every Wednesday night. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here, thanking Thee that Thou hast given us this place where we can come together and worship Thee, sing Thy praises, glorify Thy name. And I ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here today. I ask Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto Thee. Inspire us, O God. I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would truly be upon each and every one of us, and I pray that we would all be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, that Thy perfect will would be done here tonight. Let everything be done here according to Thy perfect will and according to Thy purpose. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with a chorus that we often start with on Wednesday nights. Number 11, let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just
our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to number 64 and sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, we know who our Lord is. Our Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Why don't we go to number 130 and sing, For He is Lord. Number 130. That He's my Lord and my God. That's number 130. We're going to sing that one, and then we're going to sing number 72 after that, For He is Lord. But 130 first. He's my Lord and my God.
He's my Lord and my God.
Is our Lord, and one day we will stand before Him and profess that with our tongues. Everyone's gonna do it. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 72, for He is Lord. Number 72, for He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He. Let's go to number 68 and sing, He's the Lord of Glory. Number 68. He's the Lord of Glory. the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, throughout eternity. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the singing that chorus, I thought of another song we sometimes sing here, number 178. His name is wonderful. Why don't we go there now? Number 178. Wow. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these blessings that thou hast given us, for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know that we are only here tonight by thy mercy and thy grace, and we are so thankful, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the sake of thy name. Lead, guide, and direct us in all things, we pray. And we ask that thy will would always be done here in this place. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless the gift here tonight, and we also ask that thou would bless those who are unable to give, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a prayer request, and I'll just read this. It said, it's from Healing in His Wings. It's an online listener. I have a prayer request. We had a very bad storm hit us this past Sunday, and we had some damage to our home. Nothing major, but will you please pray that the Lord will send me a reliable handyman who will fix it for us at a reasonable price? So we can go ahead and do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight for Healing in His Wings, praying, O God, that thou wouldst lead and direct her and help her to know exactly what to do, help her to know where to look to find a repairman, a handyman that can handle this damage to her home. And I pray, Lord, that it will be done decently in order and that the cost would not be excessive, but we pray that good work would be done, Lord. And we pray that thou wouldst lead and guide and direct her choice, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, earlier tonight when Mom was playing the piano, there was a chorus she was playing that we haven't sang for quite some time here, and you know, I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, maybe we should sing that one again. It's a wonderful little chorus, number 80 in the chorus book. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Number 80. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Wonderful thing to bring back some of these old choruses, and you know, it's so true. We start with just a little bit of faith, but it grows. It grows and it grows, and it gets stronger and mightier in the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn things over to Shirley now and see what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is true. It just, you know, sometimes you come in here just struggling with this and struggling with that, and things start to happen when you start worshiping the Lord. You start building up faith in your heart, and things start to change. It's just kind of a marvel. You know, it can be quite a struggle sometimes, you know. Your back can hurt, your neck can hurt, you know. You can have a sore throat, you know. You can, this and that, and, you know. It can go on and on. But praise the Lord, we begin to lift Him up. Things begin to change in our lives. It's a wonderful privilege we have of knowing the Lord. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. We sang that song about Him not being a stranger to us. And you know, it is a wonderful thing to realize that He is our Lord and our God. And we know Him. He is a stranger to most people. And some people have another conception and another idea of who He might be, and they have all kinds of notions. But it's a wonderful thing to know God in reality, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are blessed here tonight. We are really blessed to have these wonderful privileges. And though we are just few in number, our God is mighty. He is mighty, and He knows how to pull down strongholds. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to bring us through every trial and situation. Nothing is too hard for him. And you know, you go through these things, and sometimes, oh Lord, this is hardy. I just, you know, I can't see how you're going to do this. You know, but come on, what kind of God do we serve? He's a mighty one. He's a great God. There's nothing too hard for Him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He knows how to change things around. He knows how to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. He knows how to heal our bodies, to set us free, and oh yes, to give us what we have need of in every way. He certainly knows how to save our souls and to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, and we're very blessed to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. We can worship Him. we can worship Him and sing His praise, and what a wonderful delight that is. It is amazing how when you start really worshiping, how things begin to change. Praise the Lord, that faith grows. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about our God tonight. We're going to call this message faithfulness. And not only is our God faithful, but He is looking for a people that are faithful. So with His help, we're going to explore that a bit, I hope, tonight and see what He might show us. But let's pray first here as we begin. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your mercy. Oh, God, Your provisions for us, these opportunities that we have, oh, Lord. The fact that there's an open door, we can come into Thy presence, Lord. We can worship You, Lord. We can sing Thy praises. Oh, God, we can know Thee as our Lord and our God, our Savior, our soon-coming King, oh, Lord. We come before You, Lord. Oh, God, we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the enemy. Oh, God, we come against all the strongholds. Oh, God, all the things that try to take away our faith, Lord. We come against them in the name of Jesus. We lift You up, oh, God. We ask, oh, Lord, that You'd help us now, oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. That the strong man would be rebuked and bound. And, oh, God, that You'd give us the victories that we need in Jesus' name. The victory, oh, Lord, that we need. Oh, Lord, the words of life that we need. Oh, God, and I just pray that You'd minister to us, Lord. To supply the needs of Your people, Lord. You talk to our hearts as individuals, one and all, Lord. Oh, God, that nobody, oh, God, would miss out on this, what You are trying to say here tonight, Lord. That You would direct this in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, by the power of the blood. Oh, Lord, oh, God, let Your Spirit flow. Oh, God, let it have free course. Oh, God, let it reign in our hearts. We could do nothing without You, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, knowing that, oh God, we must have Thy help and Thy anointing. We bring it before Thee and thank Thee, God, for Thy goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is faithful. Great is His faithfulness unto us, His children. And you know, we can say that now. But, oh my, that's going to be one of those attributes of God is going to resound throughout all eternity. His faithfulness, His ability to sustain us, to keep His word, and you know, those promises. Brother Sam's been talking about those promises of God, and you know, what would they mean if God wasn't faithful? They wouldn't mean anything. And thank God, He's not like unto man. He's not like unto the politicians that, you know, give the debates and the speeches and, you know, try to look pretty on press and you know, say things to appease the people or to get a vote. Oh, no, God's nothing like that. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's nothing like that at all. And oh my, we are living in a time when faithfulness is very hard to find. You know, not only in politics and government, but in marriages, you know, in families, situations, all kinds of things, jobs, the way that people think, the way they operate, all of those things. There's a lack of faithfulness in all various aspects of living. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who is faithful, and we can grab onto His promises. We can believe them because we know that what He has said, that what He has declared is forever settled in heaven. It's established in heaven. And praise the Lord, He's not like unto man, you know, who have a policy for the moment and then change it next week. Or, you know, down the road, or you see that in all different aspects of life. You see that, you know, not only in government, but you see that in you know, nutritional things where, you know, something that was really bad one moment ago, so it seems, you know, is suddenly okay, you know, and the other way around, something that's, you know, good now is, you know, bad tomorrow. But, you know, that's the way it is with men, and, you know, their lack of real knowledge. That people might think they're wise, but oh my, we all know that we just, you know, have just a little bit of, you know, pea knowledge, so to speak, and just a tiny bit compared to what God knows, you know, His vast understanding, His you know, his overwhelming ability to know all things, to create all things, to do all things, you know, to undertake in all aspects of living. I mean, what a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And he is faithful. He is faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 25 here to begin here tonight. And here we'll just read some of these verses that talk about this wonderful attribute of God. Verse 1 of chapter 25 of Isaiah. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. Oh, and should we not praise him? Should we not exalt him? He has done wonderful things, and it's not over yet. We still are going to see what his hand of mercy is going to do on our behalf. Oh, yes, we're still going to grasp his provisions and his mighty works in greater proportions, I believe, if we can continue our walk with him. Amen. And, of course, we know that wonderful faithfulness of God is not just extended for this moment, but we look at Psalms 119 and just looking at verse 90 here, this wonderful chapter, it says in verse 90, Psalms 119, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Oh yes, what he established is remaining. It still abides. And that faithfulness of God is not just for the moment. It wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for those that were under the law. But it's unto all generations. And here we are at the end of the world, I do believe, and how we need the faithfulness of the Lord to carry us through. Something to hang on, something to believe in. Oh, yes. We go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. We realize that God, in his almighty ability, cannot lie. And it's a wonderful thing when we look at verse 17 here in Hebrews 6. Verse 17 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. We know that Jesus Christ became that great high priest, and he is entered into that within the veil. That veil was rent in twain. Oh, that so we could enter into his presence, so we could have that hope as the anchor of our soul. And praise the Lord, we can claim his promises. He had to declare there was no greater than himself. Oh, that he could swear upon or swear by. And so he had to confirm that, you know, it was impossible for him to lie. He can't do that. And that's a wonderful, strong consolation to us who need this refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, who need this anchor of our soul. And praise the Lord, we have it, that hope, which is as an anchor of our soul, is sure and steadfast. And what a wonderful thing it is, which have entered into that within the veil. Oh yes, we could go into the presence of the Lord, because the Lord Jesus became that great high priest and entered in first so that we might have access to it. What a wonderful thing. Also going to Lamentations, also written by Jeremiah, and of course, Jeremiah penned this book of Lamentations. He was going through a horrendous time. He was seeing the destruction that had come upon Jerusalem, that beloved city, and it had to be so hard for him to bear to see all the horrendous things that were going on there during this time period. And lo and behold, in the midst of this, he was lamenting. He was crying out. Of course, he's known as the weeping prophet. But here in Lamentations, the third chapter, you can see that he began to call to mind the mercies of the Lord. And what a good thing that is. Oh, yes, when you get into that place, that rough spot, that moment of despair, when you don't know what to do and nothing makes sense and all is confusion, what a wonderful thing to recall to mind the mercies of the Lord. This is what Jeremiah was doing here. We look at verse 21 here in this third chapter. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, we can sing it, can't we? Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. What a wonderful thing, those compassions. Every morning they fail not. Every day is a new start with the Lord. He allows us to come to him and make a new beginning. And it is of his mercies. We could be consumed. You know, we are but a drop in the bucket anyway. What are we? You know, we're like an ant, you know, in the sight of God. We actually could be. That's how he chose to look at us. But he chooses to have compassion on us. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. It says, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, what a wonderful thing, that anchor of our soul, that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. Oh my, we are blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed. Let's also go to Psalms 89 as we talk about the faithfulness of our God. Of course, sometimes we sing this psalm here, the very first part here. Here it says, with the very first verse here in Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Again, here's the thought that it's not just for a certain people or a certain period of time, but that faithfulness extends to all generations, even we who are at the end of the world. And therefore, we can sing of those mercies of the Lord forever. You know, that song begins now. You know, we sing tonight. You know, we can sing in our car. We can sing in the morning. But it's a song that will be for all eternity, the song of God's mercy, the song of his faithfulness. It begins now in our hearts, but it's a song that's not going to end, because his faithfulness is not going to end. His mercies are not going to end. So we can declare it. We can sing it. We can make it known. And it says in verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Oh yes, all this, the very creation, the heavens themselves are all examples of the faithfulness of God who established them. Oh yes, the worlds that are hanging upon God's word. You know what he declared, those planets that spin in orbit, but yet what are they hanging on? They're hanging on God's word, his faithfulness. They're established because he declared it and he established them. And then verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. There was a promise that was made unto David, who was a shepherd boy that became king, of course. And God swore to him that he was going to establish his seed forever and build up his throne to all generations, Selah. And not only that, it tells us in verse 5, the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Oh, yes, you're the child of the Lord. You're going to know that God is faithful. It doesn't take too long to realize how faithful, how consistent, how precious he is, and how we can rely on him. And you know how our confidence can be strong in the Lord, because his faithfulness also is in the congregation of the saints. What a wonderful thing it is. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? There's certainly nobody that can be likened unto the Lord. There's certainly no one in the heavens that can be compared unto the Lord. It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held, or to be had, rather, in reverence of all them that are about him. Oh yes, we can revere our God. We can respect him. There is none like him. We can fear him with that respect that he is due for his greatness, his faithfulness, oh, his wonderful works unto the children of men. It says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. I like how Jesus said to those wind and that wave, those waves that had gotten so unruly, so it seemed there when he walked this earth, he just simply said, peace be still. And they were still, right? Oh yes, because he was God manifested in the flesh, and he could say to those winds and waves, peace be still. And they obeyed him. Oh yes. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. And there Rahab refers to more something like Egypt. Or it can be also in the context of a sea monster of sorts, as it's talking about. But things that are conflicting and in the way there. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain, the enemy. God has slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Nothing unknown to God is, you know, he knows all about it. He made it, you know. He put it in orbit. He put it in order. He established it, you know. Every little crook and cranny is known to our Heavenly Father. He says, the north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Praise the Lord. I believe those were mountains, and I believe they did rejoice when they saw Jesus. There are some that think Hermon was possibly the place of the Transfiguration. It's a beautiful mountain, as I understand. Snow-covered consistently, but beautiful for its majesty. But there it was. Jesus came onto the scene. Tabor, a little bit east of Nazareth, and Hermon, oh yes, shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Oh yes, the righteous judge. Oh, his throne is a habitation of justice and judgment. There is no judge like our God. He's the only one that really knows all things. He's the only one that rightfully can judge according to his righteous judgment and true justice being established. It says, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Do you know how blessed we are to know the Lord? We sang about Him tonight. Oh yes, we can rejoice. We are blessed if we know that joyful sound, that wonderful news that Jesus Christ has come and that He's our Lord and our God. He's not a stranger to us. But we can acknowledge Him now. And what a wonderful thing. It says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Oh, yes, in Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Oh, yes, no righteousness of our own, but that wonderful robe of righteousness that He gives us. We can exalt Him for that. We can exalt Him. We can rejoice in that name that is above all names. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. We are very privileged. You know, if He is our defense, He is our King, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's no one mightier than Him. There's no forces greater than our God. And we are blessed. He's our King. He's our God. He's our Savior. He is our defense, therefore. And He is our King. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it begins to talk about, oh yes, that covenant that was made with David, his servant. And it speaks of it here. Verse 19, then Thou spakest in vision to Thy Holy One and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him, and I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And I think that's true for God's people. God knows how to take care of His people. He knows how to establish His people and how to give us deliverance from our foes and those that would hate us. And that faithfulness, His mercy also, is with those that fear Him. And in my name, it says, shall His horn be exalted. I will set His hand also in the sea and His right hand in the rivers. He shall cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. That's our cry too. Oh, yes, Thou art our God. You are our Father, even. Yes, and You are the rock of our salvation. Praise the Lord. Also, I will make Him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And of course, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. My mercy will I keep for Him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with rod, and their iniquity with stripes. That's the chastisements of the Lord. But, verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. It just can't fail. What God has said, He will do. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. See, I mean, what God has declared. And here He says, once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. And what is that seed? What is that seed of David? Oh my, we can go to Acts, the second chapter now. We'll find out what that seed is. Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. That was one thing that he wanted to establish here. And praise the Lord, here he is as he is preaching to those that had actually crucified the Lord Jesus. He began to say these things. So he began to explain. It says, verse 22, Acts, the second chapter, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." And here he's quoting from Psalms, the 16th chapter. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Oh, yes, the promises of God to his children. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Oh, yes, the grave has no power over God's people. But even more, with the Lord Jesus Christ, there was that promise. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Oh, we know that Jesus' body knew no decay. Yes, they might have crucified him. They might have killed him. They might have put him in that tomb. But still, there was no corruption in his body at all. It had been said, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." The grave could not hold the Lord Jesus, could it? "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And then thou hast made known to me the paths," or it's the ways of life here, it's the path of life in the song. "But thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Oh yes, in the Psalms 16, verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Yes, that's being made full of joy with thy countenance. Praise the Lord. And it says then, "Men and brethren," as Peter is preaching to the crowd there that had gathered around them, "let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn the oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. You see what it was, that promise that God had made to David, that his seed would endure forever, his throne be established as the sun and as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. That was because Jesus Christ was going to come forth of the seed of David. He was going to come forth. And praise the Lord Jesus Christ brought forth a people that he redeemed with his blood. He brought forth a people that are called by his name. Oh yes, he called forth a people that would be his sons and daughters. And praise the Lord, if we've been born again of a water and of the Spirit, we are his sons and daughters. And what a wonderful thing that was, the answer to that prophecy that was made back there in Psalms 89. Oh yes, that God would raise up one, that his seed, oh God, would never fall, it would never fail, that it would continue forever. Yes, because Jesus Christ was going to come of that seed, and Jesus Christ was going to bring forth sons and daughters that would be heirs of eternal life, and yes, go on for eternity. What a wonderful thing. Yes, Jesus did not see corruption. Yes, as I said, they put him in the grave, but there was no decay. Oh, yes, death could not keep him down. The tomb could not entomb him. But he arose. Oh, yes, he arose. His soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And then verse 33 here in Acts 2. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh yes, he's our Lord and our God. He is now, yes, gone into the heavenlies until his foes are made his footstool, and that day is coming. But not only did he ascend into the heaven, but he sent back his spirit, didn't he? And there, that crowd, had gathered there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, and they heard them speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They heard them all speaking in their own native tongues, their own native languages, the wonderful provisions of God. Oh, yes, the wonderful goodness of God. And they could hear that. They could see the evidence of that. And here Peter is explaining that this same Jesus that they had crucified, was now by the right hand of God exalted. And now he has sent back the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that wonderful gift that we all need. That Holy Ghost that leads and guides us into all truth. That Holy Ghost that gives us power to overcome, to be a witness in this world that is so full of darkness, that is so full of sin. Oh, yes, he did not leave us comfortless, but he came unto us. He put his spirit in us so that we could overcome and so that we could have strength to walk with him and to do his will. Oh, praise the Lord. So here Peter is explaining, this is the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord when they heard this. Oh, yes. All ye house of Israel, just you know assuredly without any doubt that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing, the Anointed One, the Almighty One. And it tells us in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Praise the Lord. Peter declared it there on the day of Pentecost. He said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And it doesn't stop there. It was just those that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost. No, it didn't stop there. He went on to say in verse 39, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that were afar off. Oh, yes. It was not just for them. It was for their children and to all that were afar off. That would include the Gentile people. And then, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing if he's called us, that we can receive that wonderful promise, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. It was a wonderful day. And I believe there, you know, he's had many other words with them, it tells us. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I have a feeling that they came up out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God came into their lives too. And it says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the Lord pouring out of His Spirit. And that was that covenant that God had established with His servant David. Oh yes, that His seed, that David's seed would endure forever, that His throne would be established. Praise the Lord, we are participants. We're children of the Lord. Listen, this is wonderful. This is exciting to think who we are in Christ, how He bought us with His own blood, you know, brought forth a new covenant so that we could obtain full and free salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, and be part of that purchase price that He paid so dearly for with His own blood, that He would establish forever His covenant, His seed. He would bring them forth. Oh, it was with great joy that He brought forth His seed. Oh, yes, it tells us in Isaiah 53, when Jesus, oh, there on the cross, what could He see? As He was bringing forth salvation, it tells us, the 10th verse of Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He saw his children at the cross, and he knew that we would be risen up to walk with him and to prolong his days. That was the pleasure of the Lord. And it tells us in verse 11 of Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul. Oh, the anguish of his soul. He was on the cross taking those sins that we've all committed. But he shall see of the travail. That travail was going to bring forth something. It's going to bring forth the people that were bought with his blood. He could see it. He could see it there on the cross of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, it pleased him. It satisfied him because he knew that it wasn't going to be in vain. There was going to be a people that were going to walk with him, that were going to claim his promises, that were going to be faithful. Praise the Lord. He shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. He was the go-between. Oh, yes, the man Christ Jesus, the go-between. God come in the flesh so he could make intercession for us. Praise the Lord. He's gone into the heavens now and he still makes intercession for his people. What a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, as Jeremiah cried in the midst of great anguish. No, there's none like unto our Lord. And because he is faithful, he's looking for a people that are faithful. It tells us in the New Testament that it's required in a steward that he would be found faithful. And that's a simple little verse there in 1 Corinthians 4th chapter and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And you know, if we're servants of the Lord, then we're his stewards. So God is expecting that of his people, that they too would be faithful, that there would be faithfulness as a great element within his people. And of course, in Luke, the 16th chapter, there's a story of stewards here, and there's a story here that Jesus was telling to his disciples. A certain rich man had a steward, and that steward had kind of gone awry and obviously done some things that were not good, not showing faithfulness. He had wasted, actually, his master's goods, it tells us. There was an accusation that he had. You know, he was pretty much told that, you know, he was going to have to give an account of his stewardship. And we all are going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of our stewardship. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't look good for him at all. He knew that he had done wrong, and his Lord was requiring it of him. It tells us here in this story that Jesus is telling. So he's trying to figure out what to do, and it tells us here, verse 3, you know, the steward's trying to, you know, say within himself, what shall I do? You know, my Lord, take it away from me, the stewardship. I'm not going to have that position anymore. It's going to be taken from me. And he says, I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed. You know, I had to come up with something to, you know, make ends meet, to have a living. And so it came to him, it tells us in verse 4, I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So what did he do? He had been in charge of different debtors of his Lord, and so he called them. He says, one by one, I imagine, and he said to the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And you know, this individual said, verse 6, 100 measures of oil. And so this man who was, you know, going to be put out of his stewardship said, well, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And so then he said to another one, and how much owest thou? And the other man said, 100 measures of wheat. And so this man is going to be put out of this position, said unto him, take thy bill and write 80 or 80. And the Lord, it tells us here in verse 8, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And because he was, you know, he was realizing he had done wrong in that which had been required of him, but he was making a provision for himself that, you know, with hopes that those that he had allowed to write a lesser amount, that they would then make a way for him. And, you know, it's thought that the lesser amount was actually taken away from what would have been his commission. That which, you know, I'm not sure of this, but that's kind of how I see it, that it quite possibly would explain this parable that Jesus was telling. But anyway, the Lord commended him because he had done wisely. And it says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. He had acted wisely and made a way for himself. And then Jesus said unto them, he's getting to a point, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. It explains in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So, you know, you're either faithful or you're unjust, but here it's talking about making friends of the mammon, and I believe that's telling us to use the things that God has given us, the provisions, any wealth or any goods or money or any of that sort of thing, to use it wisely for the kingdom of God's sake. That, you know, someday when you have to give an account before the Lord, that you've done wisely, that, you know, you've not spent of your provisions foolishly, that you have something that shows, something that you gave into the kingdom of God. And that's really wonderful that we can give of ourselves in such a way that it can be for our everlasting inheritance. And that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, faithfulness is required in a steward, in those that serve the Lord. If you know, if somebody is unfaithful, if they're unjust, then they're unjust also in much, it explains in verse 10. Verse 11 says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And here's another point, because we all, there's things what we have to do. You know, if we, you know, work in a store, or if we work for a boss, or we have, you know, any kind of job at all, we need to be faithful. We need to be accountable in that position that we have. It's going to be required of us. And there's a point that Jesus is making here. If you're not faithful, in the unrighteous mammon, and you know, those ordinary duties that you have to do, the things that you have to take care of, the provisions that the Lord has given you, you know, the money that has been granted to you. If you're not faithful with that, then who will commit to your trust the true riches? The things that don't go away, the things that matter. See, you have to, the faithfulness is you can see it in all aspects of our lives. You know, it says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Oh, yes, the need to be faithful in another as a steward, as you know, having to give credibility to the things that you need to manage, even for another account. So it says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Question. So the Lord is expecting things of his people. He is expecting his people to be found faithful. And I'll tell you what, when Paul was going around establishing the churches, he wrote to Timothy. Timothy too shared in that, and he too established churches and continued the works really that Paul had began. He's instructed by Paul in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And verse 2, and of things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you see that same accountability and that need to commit the things that are of value, the things that need to be taught to those that are also faithful, who will also be able to teach others. A great need. Oh, and that is what God expects of his people. Oh, yes, it tells us that Moses was faithful in all his house. Yes, we are told that in Hebrews, the third chapter. Oh, we know that David, before he was made king of Israel, that he was faithful as he took care of those sheep. He took care of those sheep bodily to the best of his ability. When there was a lion that came and took one of his lambs, he was able to grab that lion somehow by the grace of God and take it out of that lion's mouth. Oh yes, a bear actually came after one of his lambs too, and again, David was able to save that lamb because he went after the sheep, he cared for the sheep, and he was faithful in that which had been committed to him. And so it is with all of God's people. Joshua was faithful before he became leader of Israel. Oh yes, there when Moses was up on the mountain, he wasn't with the others, Aaron and the others who were worshiping that golden calf. He was waiting faithfully for Moses to come down. Even though it was 40 days, he was waiting there faithfully for Moses to come down. And that is an indication of God's people. There's that faithful element. Those that the Lord commits his trust to. There's that expectation that God has of his people. And likewise, if we look at Luke, the 12th chapter, we see how we are expected to be faithful. Let's look at verse 35 here in Luke, the 12th chapter. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Oh yes, our loins are girded about with truth, as it tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And our lights burning, oh yes, with the oil of God, the Holy Ghost. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Because are we not waiting for our Lord to come back? Our Lord and Savior? When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Oh yes, we are the servants of the Lord, and we are waiting for his return. And he's got expectations of us. He's expecting us to be faithful servants. And of course, if we're faithful, we're going to be watching. And you know, we don't want anything to clutter our lives or to get in the way, because when he comes, we don't want to have to go, you know, clear a great pathway to the door so that, you know, we can open up the door to him. In other words, get all the clutter and junk out of our heart, you know, so we can hear him say, well done. I think that's not going to work. No, we need to live in that expectation of his coming. We got to realize that one of these days, he's going to be here, and we can't say, my Lord delayeth his coming, and go on to, you know, eat and drink with the drunken and beat the men, servants, and all of those sort of things. Because then the Lord's going to come in a day when that servant doesn't look for him, an hour that he's not aware of, and he's going to cut him asunder. And he's going to appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. I mean, it's not going to work. Lord, I knew you. But if you're not faithful, if you're not doing his work, if you're living in sin, I'll tell you what, you're going to get your portion with the unbelievers. It's not going to work. But praise the Lord, we could be those servants that are watching. Oh, he may not come in the first watch. The first watch is probably over. I don't know what watch we're in at this point. Is it the second watch? Is it the third watch? Is it, you know, the thousandth watch? I don't know. But anyway, we know one thing. He's coming. He's going to come suddenly, and he's not going to tarry. Oh, one day it's going to be over, and for sure we can't be like those foolish virgins who, you know, didn't have enough oil in their lamps, so that when the call came forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. They had no oil in their lamp, and they couldn't join. Had to go try to buy oil at the last minute. Oh my, I think we better wake up now. I think we better get ready now. He's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come suddenly, unannounced, and our lamps have to be trimmed. They have to be burning when he comes. Oh, it does give us, we do have this warning here in God's Word, and how wise it would be that we would take heed, that we would prepare our hearts now. You know, I know there's people that plan someday to repent, to give their lives to the Lord. All I can say is, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the moment. We're not promised 10 years from now. We're not promised tomorrow. All we know is we've got an open door at this moment. We can come to him now. We can get our hearts right now. Oh, I pray that those that are not prepared would get their hearts ready. Even now, even tonight, even now. Oh, yes. It tells us here in Luke 12, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Oh, yes. Peter said unto him in verse 41, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? You know, are we included in this, Lord? Why are you saying this, God? And the Lord said in verse 42, who then is that faithful and wise servant, steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Praise the Lord, that's a promise of our faithful God. But it tells us, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men, servants, and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, In other words, live in sin and live carelessly, recklessly, do the things that please oneself, appease the flesh. Oh, he's, you know, yeah, he's coming 100 years from now, maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to be me. No, it's not wise. You must not do that. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's going to be an awesome day when our Lord comes. Oh, when he rips the sky. Suddenly, oh, we hear that trumpet sounding in the voice of the bridegroom. Oh, crying forth. I'll tell you what, oh, there's going to be no greater moment than that. And for sure, I know one thing. We must be ready. We must be ready. We want to be, as those servants that he can say to, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, yet I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, yes. It's going to mean everything to hear the Lord say, well done, at that moment. You know, we did what we could do. You know, if he gave us 5 talents, we need to use those 5 talents. Have 5 talents more. Gave us 2 talents. Oh, yes, you could easily get 2 talents more. We certainly don't want to be like that man who, you know, said, oh, well, I'm afraid. I was afraid, so I just went and hid my talent. I use it. Here, I'll dig it up, Lord. You can have it. I dig it up. I saved it for you. No. God expects us to use those gifts, those abilities, those materials that he has given us. He expects us to be good stewards over the things that he has given us as individuals. Oh, yes, because truly, excuses aren't going to matter on that day. You know, we could always come up with something. But God, Almighty God, will see through any excuse. It's not going to make any impact on him. He's not going to blink. He's not going to think twice. He knows. He knows nothing is hidden from him. Oh, he'll know. Well, we certainly don't want to be like that unfaithful servant who buried that talent in the dirt and refused to use it. Oh, that's how God looks at unfaithfulness. He said, cast ye then, unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's how God looks at it. He's expecting us to have something to show him. There's got to be some accountability that we have to give God to meet his expectations. We've got to invest in his kingdom. Oh, yes, we've got to make our lives count. We've got to be faithful if he's going to judge us faithful, if he's going to truly say unto us, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to, you know, we can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That's established. So he's not going to call us faithful if we're not. Oh my. I praise the Lord. There's that moment when he's going to come. That moment when he's going to rip through the sky and all at once, yes, that trumpet of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, it's going to be over. And of course, we know from what Peter told us. So yes, that day the Lord could come as a thief in the night. Suddenly, oh yes, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. Oh yes, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And oh my, all the works that are in this earth are going to be burnt up. The earth also, and all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It is coming. But praise the Lord. We can prepare. We know he's coming. We know that. And he's given us opportunity to go forth and do his work, to live for him, to be faithful stewards, to give of him of our time, of our money, of our living. He's expecting us to be down there on our knees, crying out for other people. Oh yes, calling on the sick, or visiting them, those in prison, or writing notes, or you know, doing what we can for the kingdom of God's sake. He's given us all some ability. We have something that we could do for God, for his kingdom's sake. And he's expecting that of us. He's expecting us to use those things that he's granted unto us. As I said, when we stand before him and it's an accounting day, we want to be able to open up immediately and let him in. Oh yes, we want to be able to stand before him without any guile, without any hindrances, without any excuses. You know, we want to have a clean heart at that moment. We want that lamp to be lit within us, that Holy Ghost to be strong. Oh, you know, we can't say we're going to pray up, you know, a month from now. We better pray up now. We better call on God now. We better hit the altar now. Because tomorrow may be too late. That trumpet is going to sound. Oh, yes, he said, surely I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. He's going to come. It's a thief in the night, and then all at once, it's over. It's over. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. John described that day of the Lord. If you go to Revelation here for a moment, the 19th chapter, we could read of that event. Oh, as our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns in the sky. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, yes, it's judgment time. And there's that sharp, two-edged sword, the Word of God that's going out of his mouth. When all at once it's judgment time, and he's going to judge according to his word. He's going to smite the nations. Oh, yes. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. They're going to see a God that they never imagined. They stand before him. His eyes are as a flame of fire. Oh, I'll tell you what. You're not going to be able to stand before God if there's sin in your life. There's no way. You've got to come to him now and let him take that sin and forgive you. Oh, yes, it's time now to go down to those waters of baptism for the remission of sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time now to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because he's coming. He's coming. He's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Judgment time, and he's the righteous judge. He's going to judge according to his righteousness. It's not going to be on man's terms. It's not going to be what you thought last week or what, you know, they thought 100 years ago. It's going to be according to his judgment, according to his righteousness, God's righteousness, according to his precepts, his words, his law. And so it is. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, there he is. Oh, we sing about him. You know, I'm so glad that we can acknowledge him now as Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that he's not a stranger to us tonight. Oh, my, we don't want to be a stranger to God. We're going to stand before him. Oh, we must know him. He must know us. We must be his children if we're going to stand in his sight. We must have his righteousness on our very soul. And I'll tell you what, there it is, those armies, which are in heaven. And I know, just as this is all happening, you know, there's the catching away as you know, we who are alive and remain are caught up and we join the armies that are already in heaven. As we all, you know, come together here following him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, yes, because those sins have been blotted out, oh, by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that atonement that he made for us so that we have his righteousness and, oh, we can be clothed in that fine linen. There's those armies. And it tells us of those armies. If you just turn back a page, you look at Revelation, the 17th chapter, if things are culminating in this world, as it's all coming to pass. It tells us in verse 12, the 10 horns, which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And this is it. This is those armies that follow him. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Faithful. What God expects of his people. Oh yes, he calls us. He chooses us. He makes a way for us. He puts his spirit within us. And then he's expecting something of us. Oh yes, that day of accountability is coming forth. Oh yes, we stand before him. Oh yes, how we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh yes, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Oh, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Oh, how we want to hear him say that. But yes, those that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have opportunity tonight. We have opportunity to seek him with all our hearts, to do the things that he requires of us so we can be good stewards, so that when we give an account of our time here on earth, we can do it with joy because we have fulfilled his will. And we have been faithful servants. Oh, praise the Lord, enduring unto the end, doing those things that he asked of us. Oh, yes, we're challenged here tonight. But oh, yes, we can do so. The Lord's help, if we'll be obedient, cry out to him, and do the things that he asks us to do. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, talk to our hearts, Heavenly Father. Talk to us, Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to be in that place. Oh, Lord, where you can judge us faithful, Lord. Where there is none like unto you, oh Lord. I pray that you'd make us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. That you'd help us now. That you'd talk to us. Oh, God, that you'd bind every hindering spirit and every, oh, thing that would, oh, God, cause anyone to make excuse and think that they've got tomorrow, Lord. I pray that you'd call tonight. In the name of Jesus, that you would call forth and that you'd help us all to be wise stewards of our time and of our ability in the things that you've granted us. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to sing a chorus that we should all know very well by now. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.